We're so glad that you've joined us this morning for the Word for Life radio ministry. The last couple of times, Dieter Stolp has been sharing his testimony of coming to Christ. But Dieter, it's not enough just to know that you know the Lord and that you know that you're on your way to heaven. When that happens, you want to tell people, don't you?
Absolutely. And I was kind of gung-ho at that. I was a brand new Christian.
Sure.
I really didn't understand a lot of what you need to know as a Christian. But when you're set free like that, you want to tell the whole world.
Oh, that's the truth.
And one thing I did is I was so on fire for that, and I wanted to go tell my brother because my brother and I had a pretty good relationship together.
Oh, okay.
And we went over to his house, and unfortunately, my brother didn't take it very good.
Mm.
We had a little falling out because of it. He didn't want anything to do with my faith. He didn't want anything to do with the circumstances there. I don't know what drew him away from God, if he did believe at one time.
Okay.
I really didn't know.
Yeah.
But our relationship kind of went down the tubes after that. And it kind of hurt me because of all the people that I thought I could go to as my brother.
Right.
That I was really close to.
And you thought he'd be excited about it.
That's exactly
right. Yeah.
And it kind of shocked me when I walked in there and he told me he didn't want nothing to do with it. So I kind of laid back a little bit and let it go, and it kind of deteriorated. My family actually thought I joined a cult at that time because the difference in my life.
Wow.
You know, they thought that I really went overboard. Because at that time, when I was growing up, the Moonies were kind of out there and they were going, you know, strange things like that.
I see.
And
they thought maybe that's what you'd gotten into.
Right. Hmm. And they also knew that my brother and I's closest friend, he kind of went off the deep end too.
Oh, okay. You know, okay.
And he all of a sudden started talking about all kinds of religions. And for a while, we thought he really was in a cult, but he really wasn't. He accepted the Lord. And he was actually going on to evangelism, to go into different countries and stuff like that. So basically, I kept going. God was showing me that I needed to talk to him. I really believe in one-on-one evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
I do very good at that. When I talk to people, I befriend them first.
Sure.
And get to know them and feel them out. And I'm able to bring God into all my conversations.
You know, I like the way you put that. Bring God into the conversations. You know, and many times, Dieter, the Lord allows our friends to go through some hard times so that maybe they might begin looking around for help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it's easier to bring God in the conversation.
Right. I'd like to share a story that I had with how God showed me that when he tells me to speak to somebody, I need to speak to him.
Right.
There was a situation when I was over the road where I was at a place where I was trying to pick up a load, but I couldn't get the load because it was delayed for some reason. And I was sitting around for 6 to 8 hours waiting for this load. And
now, you're a truck driver.
I'm a truck driver.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I went into my bunk and I went to sleep. And all of a sudden, about midnight or so, I heard a knock on my door. There was a man standing down there. And this was in the middle of winter. It was really, really bitter cold out. I mean, with the windshield, it was probably about 30 below, something like that. And I rolled down the window, woken up out of sleep, and he says, "Could you please help me? I can't unhook my truck to get my trailer." And I says, "Sure, I'll help you out." He says he was like out there for a half hour to 45 minutes trying to unhook this trailer, and he couldn't do it.
No.
And I got out of the truck, went over there by him where he was, and I went underneath there, and I pulled the fifth wheel pin, and it just came out just like that.
My goodness.
And so we got the loads and everything like that, and we started talking, and he started telling me his life story about how his wife just abandoned him. And when he got home, that his whole house was gone.
Empty.
And all he did is stand in the middle of the room. So we got hooked to our trailers, and we were on our way. And he was going to Madison, Wisconsin, and I was heading towards Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So we were kind of communicating back and forth.
On your CBs?
On CBs, like, you know. And he kept talking about his life and how miserable and everything like this. And I'm on the other end and saying, "Lord, I don't want to hear all this here. You know, I just want to go get this trip over and get home like that." And in the back of my mind, I just heard God say, "Well, you really need to speak to this guy."
Exactly. This is not an accident.
Right.
Of your meeting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I hesitated and I hesitated, and I refused to speak to this man. I just didn't want to. First of all, I wasn't experienced talking about God in the first place. So we had to split off. He went towards Madison, and I went towards Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And in just about as we were coming into Milwaukee, there's a rest area in East Troy that was coming up. And all of a sudden, this pressure came over to me. I cannot explain to this day what it was, but I felt like my whole chest was just caving in. So I pulled over into the rest area, and I just kind of relaxed a little bit. And I was thinking about what was going on there. And back in my mind, Dieter, you're supposed to talk to this man. I asked you to talk to him. You didn't do that. And I apologized to God at that time. I said, okay, Lord, if you really are sincere about this here, that you want me to talk to this man, bring him back to me. Playing games with God, he did what he said.
Oh, wow.
About 2 weeks later, I went to the same place that I made that pickup from, and sure enough, my load was delayed.
Oh, okay.
Went back in the bunk, went to sleep again, and all of a sudden I hear a knock on my door. Boom, boom, boom. I get out of the bunk, waking up and everything like that, and there's that man standing down there.
Bring him back to me, you said.
Yep. And he says, hey, he says, can you help me again? I says, my fifth wheel is stuck.
Again.
So I go over to him.
God says, listen, if you don't witness this guy, you're going to be helping him with his fifth wheel for years to come.
Yeah. So basically, I shared the whole gospel with him that night right there in the parking lot.
Sure.
And I don't know if the man ever accepted the Lord. I gave him a book to read.
Right.
But I never saw the man again. So it's only eternity.
Wouldn't it be neat if you meet him in heaven?
Oh, absolutely.
And he says, Dieter, let me tell you what God did after we parted.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't that be neat?
Well, from that moment on, I knew my responsibility. And after that, God just kept bringing people more and more into my life for it.
At the
point of it was kind of overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't stopped to this day.
Because you begin to get an excitement of sharing. Well, the gospel is called the good news.
Right.
That's what the word gospel means. And sometimes we tend to look at it as the bad news because, you know, we don't know how people are going to be receiving it. But it's good news.
It is. I came from such a background where I had no concept of what God was all about and that he even cared about me.
Right.
And that's what made me come to Revelation 3:20. When it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That kind of opened it more or less personally to me that he would be willing to come to my door, you know, instead of I going to him. He reached out to me. And the kind of a situation where it talks about where, you know, they're dining together. At that time, it was very important for those people to dine. And they spent days and days with each other.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just an informal kind of meeting. And that's what he wanted with me. And that's what I took out of that.
Yes. And the Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. And that's exactly what the Lord does. He does the seeking, and he knocks on the door and says, I'd love to come in. I'd love to have fellowship with you. I'd love to change your life. But the doorknob's on your side.
It wasn't an easy road, you know. I'm not saying that it was hunky-dory.
No.
You know, anybody who promises you that just because you become a Christian, everything's going to change and you're going to be overwhelmed with everything that's good in your life, stuff happens.
You still have life, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Right, you have to deal with it.
Right. But, you know, somebody said the other day that the only thing worse in going through a tragedy with God is going through a tragedy without God.
Mm. And that's one of the things that kind of impacted me. I'm glad you said that because I cannot imagine my life without God because I wasn't one of the loneliest men around. Even though, you know, life was going on around me, I still was deep down and really, really a lonely person.
It would be very easy for you to become depressed.
Yeah, well, basically that's true.
Yeah.
Because I really didn't want to associate with a whole lot of people. You know,
right.
I had my family there, but that's basically it. As far as I wanted to go.
Now, you became a Christian then, but your wife wasn't a Christian. Tell me about that relationship then.
Well, she started seeing things in me that weren't normal because I was not much of a reader because of my background and not being educated very good. And I started reading more and more and more. And she was born a Catholic, and she was in a Catholic background. So I had to approach it from basically that kind of area. And I started reading. I says, you know, Sylvia, just do me a favor. I don't want to push anything onto you, but read the Bible. Read what the Bible says. Don't just automatically agree with what churches tell you.
Sure.
You know, so open your Bible and start reading it. And Sylvia took me at heart at that, and she opened the Bible, and she started reading. And for a while there, I didn't bug her about it. I just let her read the Bible.
Right.
And Sylvia's the kind of woman, when she reads something, and it's correct, boom, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So about a year later, she gave her life to the Lord.
And, of course, she was watching the changes taking place in your life.
Yeah, she was scared to death that I went off the deep end. She didn't know what to expect out of me.
Now, you were going to church after you got saved?
No, not really. We were going to a Catholic church.
Right, but not a Bible-preaching church.
Right, but I just did not feel comfortable in that form.
So she saw your life changing, and she began to read the Scriptures, and God used the Word of God to bring her to the point of understanding what Dieter's telling me is true,
right,
because it's in the Bible.
Right. And she prayed to accept the Lord. And basically after that, we were kind of wandering around. We didn't really have a church home. We tried to stay in the Catholic church because we were starting to talk to the priests about what was going on in our minds.
Right.
And they didn't accept that very good.
Not real happy, were they?
No. So basically we were kind of homeless in church for a while. We were kind of wandering in the wilderness.
Okay.
And my wife decided that the girls needed to go to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a Sunday school going on in our neighborhood. So that's where we started going to church.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we got our start in
right.
What was a church.
Right. And you know, for folks who are listening to us, Dieter, they may be in the same situation. They may be saying, you know, our family needs to change, and we've got kids who need to be going to Sunday school. Your recommendation would probably be the same as mine. Get started.
Yes.
Just decide this next Sunday, that's when we're going to get started.
Yes. And basically, my wife started it out. I was kind of stubborn about that, and I let her take charge of that. And then I realized that I needed to be there, too.
The spiritual leader.
Right.
Yeah.
It took a little while.
You're a stubborn German? Is that what you told
absolutely.
Us earlier?
Absolutely.
You know, you don't have to be a German to be stubborn. All of us have a streak in us, don't we?
Yes.
But thank God, he can take the streak and he can begin to make it pliable as he begins to work in our life and give us a love for Jesus, love for his word, and a love for people. I trust that these broadcasts have been a blessing to you. And if you know someone who needs Christ, don't be afraid to witness to him or to her, because that is the start of the Dieter Stolpe story that I trust will remain with you for a long, long time.